Good afternoon. Thank you all for being here. It's an honor and a privilege for us to pay tribute to Norton Douglas Schramm today. This was his church home, Sandusky First United Methodist Church. And we just want to thank you for your many acts of love and kindness, for your many prayers that have been offered up during this difficult time. For your kindness, we know that it's appreciated more than words can say, not only today, but in the many days to come as well. Thank you for being here to support Linda and her family. 2 Timothy 4:7, I think, is appropriate for this day. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Dying, Christ destroyed our death. Rising, Christ restored our life. Christ will come again in glory. As in baptism, Nort put on Christ, so in Christ may Nort be clothed in glory. Here and now, dear friends, we are God's children. What we shall be has not yet been revealed, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Those who have this hope purify themselves as Christ is pure. Will you bow with me for a word of prayer? Bless those today who mourn, eternal God, with the comfort of your love, that each one may face each new day with hope and beautiful memories. May these memories become joyful and each day enriched with friendships as well as your loving embrace. We pray that in this time of loss, we will feel your love strong and sure. We pray, Lord, that you will pour upon this family your sweet, amazing grace, that it might overflow their hearts with peace as Nort finds rest in your eternal fold. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. We would like to have you share with us in an opening hymn of 377. The words are on the screen or in your blue hymn books. 377, It Is Well With My Soul. And if you would be able to stand, please do so.
Thank you.
You may be seated. The Thumb area lost a 50-year mainstay of high school sports when Nort Schramm passed away unexpectedly at home on Saturday, February 22nd, 2025. Norton Douglas Schramm was born on June 23, 1943, in Hart, Michigan, to the late Florence and Frank Schramm. After graduating from Hart High School in 1961, Norton attended MSU, where he met his wife of 59 years, Linda. Following their college graduation and marriage, Nort and Linda spent a year teaching in Quincy, Michigan, before relocating to the Thumb in 1967 when Norton accepted his career-making position in Deckerville as a phys ed teacher and athletic coach. After stints with both boys' football and baseball, Norton took over the girls' varsity basketball program, where he remained head coach for the next 25 seasons and was recognized by the state for achieving over 300 wins and reaching the state semifinals in 1984. He furthered his involvement in area high school athletics as sports director for local radio station WMIC for 30 years and was known as the voice of the Thumb for broadcasting local high school games and hosting Sportsline, the still-running Saturday morning radio program, which he created in 1975. Nort returned to Deckerville High School as athletic director for another 12 years after retiring as a teacher and coach until he took over as director of the Greater Thumb Conference in 2004, where he remained until retiring after the 2023-24 school year. Norton spent his summer breaks fly fishing and golfing with his brothers and coaching Little League for all three of his children until his battered knees relegated him to armchair commentator for his beloved Detroit Tigers. During his 59 years as a Sanilac County resident, Norton served his community in a myriad of roles. As a longtime member and secretary for the Sandusky United Methodist Men's Group, SAVE, Sanilac Area Violence Elimination and Education, Child Abuse Council member, Sanilac County Commissioner, and for the last 10 years, a Sandusky City Council member and Sandusky Airport Board Chairperson. Nort was preceded in death by his parents, Florence Morris and Frank Schramm, and his brother Jim and Dorothy Schramm. He's survived by his wife Linda Wren Schramm, children Thomas and Bernice Schramm, daughters Tammy King and Trina Schramm, grandchildren Jacob and Sarah Stark, Rachel Schramm, Dylan King, Bryce King, great-grandchildren Andrew, Maggie, Josh, and Charlotte, brother Frank and Pat Schramm, sister Mary and Scott Wright, as well as numerous cousins, nieces, nephews, and many, many friends. I'd like to invite Tom to come up at this time, and he has some things to share.
Thanks, everybody, for being here. Celebrating my dad's life. His 81 and a half years of life, I'm sure he touched a lot of you guys in different ways and different aspects of his life, the things he did. As you just heard, he was quite involved in things, and
absolutely.
And as the oldest of his children, I got to experience the most of it because I was around the longest. So, but all this integrity and helping nature that he had, how the heck did he come to get that? Well, he grew up with parents who were bakers. And if you know anything about the baking industry, you get up pretty early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So how would you like to go to high school, and before you go to school, you get up in the morning and have to help with your parents' bakery? before you actually even get into school. Wow. I guess your classmates maybe don't have to get up as early as you, but it sure instilled something in him that it takes hard work and to be successful in life.
Absolutely.
And that's something that he definitely instilled in everyone he met. So, and then later in life when he had kids and his parents closed their Heart Bakery and moved and started a bakery in Silver Lake, we would spend summers there, and I thought it would be so great to get up and go help my dad and grandpa at the bakery. You know, I'm going to get up early and go help them. And I got up about 6 a.m. is about the earliest I could get up and ran over there to help. And they had been there since 2 a.m., so most of the work was already done. But lucky for me, I got to help my grandma glaze the donuts. So, and my favorite donut that they made it was their apple fritters were amazing. But my dad still has my grandpa's book of recipes that he would not let. In German, well, but he would not share them with anyone because it was his family secret. So we still have that. But I think the bakery thing is really having that instilled in him early in life. Kind of just started spreading things out. And then one quick thing: you find out a lot of things that you didn't know when you have a family member pass away. And yesterday I heard some good stories. But I heard a story that Michigan State wasn't the first time my mom met my dad. They actually got set up on a date earlier, like when they were still in high school, and my mom didn't think much of my dad back then. And I was reading through his senior yearbook, and it seems that he was kind of a player in high school a little bit, and I think that might be why she didn't like him. he was, you know, so... just reading some of the stuff from that, but lucky for me and my sisters, and they ended up getting together in college, and 9 years of marriage, so that was amazing. But he got into coaching right away. He got his job at Deckerville as a phys ed teacher, and right away they needed a coach to help out with, I think, the defense and the football team, and it was like, boom, he jumped right in. And then he got into boys basketball, and he decided the boys were a pain in the butt to coach, and started coaching the girls, and ended up having a legacy coaching the Deckerville girls team, over 300 wins, and talking to some of the players yesterday and today, just amazing stories with how they their lives were changed, you know, and maybe their futures changed because he pushed them to be not just better basketball players, but better people. You know, he made sure that people that he was coaching or just students knew that they could achieve anything they wanted to. They just sometimes needed a little push. He would find someone maybe that was shy and wouldn't get out of their shell, and he'd help them to get involved or help them with their classwork if they were having trouble. I heard one story of a lady who graduated in 77 who was having a hard time with school. She wasn't one of his players on his team, but was one of his students. And her story to me was that he changed her life because he cared enough to help her pass math class. And he was a phys ed teacher. It's like, as my daughter always tells me, math is hard. So, I mean, I totally understand that. But he was a mentor to so many people. And another thing was he wanted other people to get recognition. He wanted to make sure that if you did something, he made sure that other people knew about it. He didn't want the recognition for himself. He ended up getting a lot of it, but he didn't ask for it. It's just because he was out there doing stuff. And I learned this when I announced the radio with him. It would drive him nuts when a radio announcer is announcing a basketball game and they'd say, like, 24 passes over to 50. And they made, no, you say the person's name. And you learn every person's name. So when he broadcasted, it was all names. You didn't hear people's numbers. It was their name. And because if the parents will listen on the radio because they couldn't make the game, or somebody that knew that person, they heard on the radio, you know, their person's name, and my kid made a basket, you know, kind of thing. And I remember mom listening to games, and when I once in a while got into a game, and she got to hear, you know, hear that I actually did something, because it didn't happen that often. So, but like you know, he went from one career to another. But in the middle, the radio broadcasting was all right in the middle of everything, and I'm so blessed that I got to help him out once in a while. I remember when I was playing JV basketball at Sandusky. If they were broadcasting a game at Sandusky, I'd play my JV game, run up after changing real quick, and broadcast the varsity game with him, and it was so much fun. And then once in a while, he had a playoff football game down in the city, and he'd call me, "Are you busy this Saturday at 1 o'clock? Because I need somebody to come help me broadcast." And so that was just a blessing to do stuff like that. So it was fun. And just real quick, Silver Lake. I like to think that I did help my parents a little bit with their skills, their life skills they need to know. Like when my sister Tammy and I lived in Silver Lake, I locked her in the bathroom one time. So he got to learn how to pick locks. I mean, and that's a life skill people might need to know. And then another time I was hitting golf balls with a baseball bat and my sister's head got in the way. And so accidentally kind of hit her in the noggin. So they, you know, those kind of skills are helping people that are hurt, right? I mean, you just, so, you know, I was sorry for that. So, although I kept hurting her throughout life, but she still loves me. So, he loved to fish. He'd teach us how to fish, and he loved fly fishing with his brother Jim, especially, who passed away recently. And he taught me how to golf, and I still love golfing to this day. Try to get out as much as I can, if he wouldn't have pushed that in me, he got me love golf where I golfed in high school rather than play football. And I think that was on purpose because he didn't want me on the football field getting hurt. So he creates memorable moments with everyone that he comes in contact with. So he had people he golfed with in Sandusky. Bob DeLong he golfed with, and they won the league a few times, I remember. And then he became partners with Dart Kenny. And they golfed until they neither one of them could golf anymore. And so R.I.P. to Dart, he kept his obituary taped to his desk because that was his golf partner. So, and he had a couple other friends that had recently passed that he had those obituaries right there too. So, and then one last thing real quick. I knew my dad was liked, you know, and hated, but hated in a nice way by his opponents and things like that. So like when I got into high school, I was called Little Nort, or Nort, as my nickname. And at first I was like, you know what, you couldn't do anything because it was like the older classmates and stuff. But then it became a moniker I was proud of, you know. And like in my senior year when they ask you to list off of your nicknames, one of my nicknames was Nort. So I took that as a proud thing to be nicknamed after my dad. You know, even if in first it was in jest because, you know, he was a Deckerville guy and I was in Sandusky, you know. So, he just all the coaching things he did, and then later on in life, when he couldn't do as much, I know he had the city council and the county commissioner and things, and you know, at the end airport board. But we could tell that he was having a hard time not being as involved. It was hard for him to retire from coaching, teaching maybe not so much, but coaching, and so he'd get a little grumpy and stuff, and we started calling him Grumpa. And at my daughter's high school graduation party, he's sitting there and just, you know, looks like he's like just grumpy and doesn't have anybody to talk to and stuff. And we're busy talking to everybody. And so my buddy Jim, who we're like, "Jim, you go talk to my dad." And just we sat him down there and they talked all afternoon. And hence my buddy Jim is now called the Nort Whisperer, even to this day. So, and that's just, through love. But even when he was grumpy, it wasn't because he was a mean, bad person. He just needed someone to talk to. So, thank you, Dad.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for coming. Apparently, there's something I need to explain right away, and that is the ketchup. So, Nort loved ketchup. I'm pretty much anything and everything. That was one of the reasons I never allowed him to come and eat at the nicer restaurants I worked at in Chicago, because I'd be embarrassed. But I have to give props to Kara Blank, because she showed up yesterday and said that she wanted to bring a bottle of ketchup to go with him, because he sure was going to need it and anything he was going to have in the future. So I don't know how my sister felt about it. It's really hard to kind of, in such a short amount of time, because I just got back Monday, really share such a full life of accomplishments. I was the youngest, sometimes accused of being the favorite, but I really think it was just because I talked a lot to everybody and anybody all the time. But, you know, I remember being the youngest, and, you know, my brother and sister often did things on their own, so I was with my dad a lot more. But we were involved as teachers. We had summers together as a family, years of camping and watching dad sweat for, you know, an hour trying to put together a camper with all the ties and bars and, you know, while we're all running around and eating and playing. You know, we have a 95-year-old house that we literally had to, like, take all the storm windows off every summer and put in the screens and change the front door and pick up sticks in the yard. And we gardened every summer, picked strawberries, made strawberry jam. I mean, we really, like, at the time you don't realize it, but looking back, he and my mom gave us such an idyllic childhood. And really stress the importance of family and being there for one another. And, you know, the older I get, the more I can't believe how lucky that we all are for that. He coached all of our Little League teams. Many of my friends here today were on, you know, the winning WMIC team for a lot of years. And he still coached in junior high and high school against me. So would often try and embarrass me when they were announcing starting lineups, trying to give me a hug or, you know, do something to embarrass me. Or in high school, I would be trying to listen to Al shouting something at me, my coach back there. And in the meantime, my dad's yelling something at me, too, to do something else. So... and, you know, it was a friendly competition. And then I had my rebellious years in high school. And he wasn't too much of a disciplinarian, but when I pierced my nose my senior year of high school, and this was back before it was a very common thing, he looked at me and said, "You can keep your car or you can keep that thing in your nose. It's your choice." So needless to say, the nose ring came out until college, and then I put it back in. And when I finally decided to take it out in college and came home, and I was waiting for him to say something, and he didn't say, I'm like, "Dad, do you notice anything?" He's like, "Just that you look beautiful." So, and, you know, coming back, you know, I never ended up getting married and having a family. So I was the kid that kind of came back and spent a lot of time with them, visiting from Chicago. And I was also kind of stuck with him and Linda for 5 years after my sister went to college. So I had kind of a different relationship, you know, with my parents than my brother and sister did a little bit. But it was just amazing even trying to keep track of all of the things and organizations he was involved in for so many years in the community. As we said, you know, United Methodist Men for so long, and then he was a registered Republican, as you kind of need to be in these parts to get elected. So he became a county commissioner, and one of his very good friends was another commissioner named John Espinoza. And when John ran for state representative for our district, the state Republican Party had started putting out some really negative ads about him and saying things that weren't true. And John was a decorated Vietnam War hero and a good friend of my dad's. And in protest, my dad quit the Republican Party, knowing that that would end his career as a county commissioner. But he believed in standing up for his friends and doing what was right. And John went on to win, actually, so he became one of his legislative workers for a few years in Lansing. And I was always really so proud of him for that, because you would hear, like, whispers in the community about him being a flip-flopper or just doing what, you know, you needed to do to get elected or stay in power. And he was not about power. He was about service and integrity and serving his community. And then when we would watch Tigers, he often would turn off the sound because he couldn't stand the commentators, because he thought he would have done a better job, probably. So we would get to listen to Nort commentating the game instead of them. But I appreciated that. And then there was closed captioning after that, so we could deal with it. But I really just am so proud that he instilled in all of us hard work and integrity, standing up for what you believe in. And in his older years, he softened up a little and actually admitted that he loved our kitty cats. And he took great care of them, giving them, they're the reason, Mom and I would never buy soft food, but he's the reason they got a can of soft food every morning right when he was making his breakfast. So, and they're both still a little confused, running around the house wondering where he is. So I'm very thankful to him as a dad.
So many wonderful memories. Thank you for sharing those. And now I'd like to invite anyone that would like to share a story or a memory to be able to either come up here or stand where you are and share a memory.
Thank you. I can't come up the front, but I'll be glad to say a few words about Nort and how his career began at the radio station. And I do want to start out by saying that since 1979, our family has been next door neighbors to the Schramm family. Couldn't find a better group of neighbors than the Schramm family, and had a lot of fun over the years. It all began when I saw Trina riding her small two-wheel bike with training wheels, and that's how long it's been that we've been with the Schramms. His career began very inauspiciously. Bob DeLong at the post office one day said, you know, a guy I bowl with, Nort Schramm, would like to get into the radio and do some games. And I never thought, and I said, well, if we need somebody, I will. And I went over to Deckerville to do a ball game one night, and the person that was supposed to be there was sick or something, and Nort was coaching a JV game. And I thought, gee, I'm going to ask him at halftime. I said, Nort, would you mind offering a few comments during the game, like up and coming with the varsity? He thought for a moment, and he says, what am I going to say? And I said, oh, just say it like it is, you know, if it's a good play or something like that, just comment on it. And he did it, and after the game, he says, that's not bad. He says, anytime you need somebody, and I tell you, his career was born, and anything Nort did, he wanted to do the best he could. There's just no question about that. And it was fun to watch him in the press box for a football game. A person would make a run, a four-yard run, whether it was a seven-yard run, he would write it down so on his little card. And he could tell you later on that game how many yards the person had run. He just had his own way of doing things. And Tom mentioned about the fact that he didn't like anybody that mentioned numbers. Another rule that he had, the Dan Dickerson rule, is you give that score every minute or minute and a half because people are joining your broadcast. And we always did that. And I'll tell you what a career he had. Also, he shared his basketball knowledge with a lot of people. And I was always thinking, in 1986, Peck Pirates went down to the state championship and Grand Rapids. They had just beaten Uintah Creek in the semifinals of the Michigan High School basketball tournament. And after we all had supper at the motel, all the coaches in the Class D league that coached against John Presnell, they all got together and had a confab and gave their ways of helping him beat Climax Scott the next day. And oddly enough, Peck just roared right through Climax Scott's. City Council, Roger and I were just talking about that, had his most troubling time last Friday. He was in the hospital, and something big happened. Sandusky was declared the winner of the best airport in Michigan, and that came on his final full day of life, and he would have loved to hear that because it was his baby. When he went to the council meetings and had a report on the progress of the airport, he just loved that. And like I say, anything he did, he wanted to do good. And another thing that happened a week ago Friday was his beloved Michigan State Spartans beat University of Michigan. And Linda said he watched that game that night. And Tom O'Mara just reminded me last night the Deckerville Eagles boys team won the district championship for Nort. A great person. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Roger Martin, class of 1975 with Deckerville. Mr. Schramm, I'll say coach, was always near and dear to my heart. And I want to thank you, Linda, and your family for sharing him for so many years with us. He had a unique way of doing things. He coached me in baseball. I was very, very fortunate to... and blessed having him actually coach me. He brought me up as a sophomore in 1973 on the varsity. Extremely nervous. I didn't know, again, very, very young to be up on the varsity, but he sat down with me and calmed me down, and we did some good things that year. One thing I can tell you, and probably Tom doesn't remember this, but... In 1973, we had a winning streak going on, and we decided to not wash our uniforms. So he made us go to the back of the bus, and my mom drove school bus, obviously, in Deckerville. And so, yeah, she was all behind him on getting him to the back, everybody to the back of a bus. So the one game, it was on the road. And we ended up losing. I think we were like five or six games in a row. And needless to say, we didn't smell all that great, right? So on our way home, he came back. We were halfway home, maybe, and he came back to the back of the bus, and we're all thinking, uh-oh, he's going to rip into us, you know? And the only thing he said is I'm so glad. I don't like losing, but I'm glad we lost today. Now get your uniforms washed, you know? Then he pointed to me, he says, Roger, don't worry about it. I already told your mother because she was driving the bus. So, but I just want to say thank you for the nice turnout here, too. You know, Coach was a very, very, I'll say, thoughtful person. Go back to what you were saying, too. If he believed in something, he was very hard-headed about it and making sure. And I'll give another quick story. Back in 75, the year I graduated, I was up for honorable mention state in baseball and then also county for baseball. And he had to fight for me, and I didn't know this at the time. A couple years later, I found out he fought for me and got me to that position. So I was very, very grateful. And I could sit here all afternoon probably and tell you stories. So could Tom O'Mara. We had a few mishaps on the field where he got hit with a line drive one day, pitching, batting practice. And he got hit in the head hard, turned around. He's yelling, call 911, 911. We had one of the other guys run up to the field, obviously to the gym, try to put coins into a in a telephone, right? That doesn't happen now. But he came to and came back around and said, I don't need no ambulance. You know, don't be calling that, you know. So, but there's many a times where we had some great laughs, great stories to tell. I think the Deckerville Athletic and School District lost a very close friend today. And I hope one day I will get the chance to, with the man and the legend, I'm hoping one day I will be able to go to heaven and we'll play baseball and catch together again and watch those Tigers.
Anyone else that would like to come and share? Okay, very good. Bert's coming over here with a microphone if you'd like, or come on up here. Either way.
Hi, I'm Jim. I'm the North Whisperer. And That came about at Rachel's graduation party. I sat down next to him. We started talking about baseball and spent, what was it, about 4 hours talking baseball. And, you know, until that was the first time I'd met him, and we just clicked. And I think I got my love of the Tigers from my dad. And so it was easy to talk to about, and we talked about the quality of the announcers, the quality of the players, and the varying opinions that he had about all of them. And, you know, we just always seemed to click. And ever since then, whenever Tom's folks came to town, they would, invite me to, if they went out to dinner or if they had an event, I was always invited. That made me feel great. Especially after I lost my dad, it was nice to have someone who liked to talk about the same things, and it made me really, feel good that, even though my dad wasn't around, it still kind of felt great to have that, that same age and, experiences. He was roughly the same age as my dad, so... it really felt good to kind of, it helped fill that void for me. So, and I hope he enjoyed my company as much as I did his. So, I guess that's it.
Anyone else? Just raise your hand. Bert will come around with the microphone. Anyone else?
I know that Nort was very important to his church family. He did a lot for this church. He was on various committees over the years. And even most recently, wanted to be on the finance team, and he wanted to help out where he could help, and he wanted to give his expertise where he could give his expertise. And I think that is a summation of what so many of you have said already, that his life was a life of service. Sometimes seen and many times unseen behind the scenes, but he made a difference, and he made a difference to so many people. I know that we probably could spend all afternoon telling about all of the ways that he contributed and encouraged and spent many, 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 many hours working tirelessly to make things better in his church, in his home, in his community, wherever he was. He was highly respected, and rightfully so. And there just isn't enough time to share what he means to each and every one of us, but we know that he will be greatly missed, but his legacy will live on through all of the things that he's taught us through his life. And I thank all of you for sharing, and you'll have time maybe during the luncheon, even following the service, where you'll want to continue sharing some of those memories and thoughts and stories and really how important he is and was in all of our lives in different ways. He truly was an icon, and he just did so much. He made an impact on so many people. I'd like to have Catherine now is going to, Catherine Phillips is going to sing a beautiful song. He loved to hear Catherine sing, and she's going to share with us a beautiful song called The Hymn of Promise.
Before I start, though, my story about Nort is, one Sunday I was walking out from church after I had sang a solo in church. He wound down his window and he says, "Will you sing at my funeral?" I said, "Well, I will if I'm still around," because I'm like 9 years older than Nort. And I'm here and I can still sing and I'm still on my two feet. So
thank you.
In the bulb there is a flower, in the seed an apple tree, in cocoons a hidden promise, butterflies will soon be free. In the cold and snow of winter there's a spring that waits to be unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. There's a song in every silence, seeking word and melody. There's a dawn in every darkness, bringing hope to you and me. From the past will come the future, what it holds a mystery, unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. In our end there is our beginning, in our time infinity. In our doubt there is believing, in our life eternity. In our death a resurrection, at the last a victory, unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. Our death, our resurrection, at the last a victory, unrevealed until its season, oh, something God alone can see.
Thank you, Catherine. That was beautiful.
You're welcome.
Something else I meant to say earlier, but I admire the way this family has pulled together over the last several months, even as Nort's health was declining, and how you all pulled together and did what was needed to be done at that time, what your areas were that you could pitch in. You did pitch in, and you supported him. And as a person that's getting older by the day as well, I appreciate that when people step up and pull together. And this family, it's a tribute to Nort. It's a tribute to Linda that they have raised you to do what family does in supporting and encouraging one another. As busy as our lives can get and as hectic as the days might be, you have done a fabulous job supporting and encouraging your parents and helping them out at every turn. And it's a tribute. It's a tribute to you and your love for your family. I'd like to share with you now some scripture, familiar scriptures. First, I'm going to read to you from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Brothers, we don't want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. And therefore, encourage each other with these words. Nort was a man of faith. Nort was a man who, as was said in various ways during your testimonies, he was a man that truly had his mind set on the way things should be and need to be. And he, I know, was certain of the place that he would go when this life was done here. I know that he was certain and confident of the life that he was going to share with Jesus for all of eternity. And I'd like to share with you Psalm 23, familiar psalm, Psalm of David. And every time I share this, I can't help but think in my mind and in my heart that David was a man after God's own heart. But David had ups and downs in his life, just like we all do. And there might be a time when he was rejoicing and dancing in the street, and there might be a time when he was hiding out in a cave in fear of his own life. The twists and turns of life that we cannot predict, but that we trust with the Lord's hand in ours, that he will guide us safely through. And I believe that this psalm, I always picture David out maybe under a tree somewhere on a beautiful summer day, just reflecting on his own life like we do on days like this and thinking about all the ups and all the downs. And through all of it, the commonality in it is that God had never left him through all of it, whether he was rejoicing and dancing or whether he was struggling. The Lord was the constant. The Lord is our constant. Let me share with you the Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters, and he restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, and even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. words of comfort. Second Corinthians 5:1 says, "For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands." And certainly that tent represents our human body, which is temporary and subject to decay, while the building from God symbolizes our eternal dwelling place in heaven after this earthly life that we live. The Apostle Paul explained it a little bit differently. He spoke of death and transformation using the image of the seed that's planted in one form and yields in time a harvest in a new form. Jesus talked of his own resurrection in a similar way, saying that a grain of wheat must die, but when it does, it yields a rich harvest. You, Nort's family, you are that rich harvest. We're all better because of knowing and loving Nort, because he'll forever be a part of those who were closest to him, who he walked alongside with, who he talked to on a daily basis, who he spent time with. Those memories will shimmer on each one of you for generations to come. Those great qualities that Nort shared, they've been handed down to each of you. They're going to shine on through each of you as well. We can see that already. While we can't fully imagine what the next stage of life is like beyond this one, we know that we can believe in the promises of the one who said, "I go to prepare a place for you." Because we know that God never ever makes a promise that he doesn't keep. And because of that, we can today be comforted knowing that Nort is in a new place where warm welcomes never end. Through all of the grief, through the tears of laughter and joy, as well as the tears of grief, may we remember these many, many, many promises that the Lord God gives us through his word. For all of our tomorrows, let us be filled with the assurance of God's unconditional love for each and every one of us. He tells us in Scripture of this beautiful place that he's created for us to be, this place that can hardly be described in words. And yet he gives John just this brief little glimpse, I believe, into the door of heaven so that he can assure us that it's a place that we want to dwell with our Lord Jesus Christ one day. I think no better time than now to have a hymn that was chosen again by the family as a favorite, 378, Amazing Grace. Again, you can open your hymn books or you can look on the screen. Let us stand together if you're able. 378, Amazing Grace. Just did.
you would be so kind as to be seated. There will be just a private family burial today, so we are going to say a few words of blessing as if we were at the cemetery site. So if you would allow me, we will have just a committal blessing at this time to gather here. And then some just following words of instruction, I guess. I will have a closing prayer, and that will include the blessing of the luncheon, which has been prepared downstairs in Wesley Hall. And we probably have some ushers and people that can direct you to get down to Wesley Hall. And the family has encouraged us to start through the food line, and they will join us when they're done at the cemetery. So we'll say the blessing of the lunch after in this area, and then you'll be invited to go down for the luncheon where you can continue to share all of your memories and stories of Nort. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Because we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Let us pray. O merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life, in whom whosoever believeth shall live, though he die, and whoever lives and believes in him shall not die. We thank you, O Father, to raise us from the death of sin into the life of righteousness, that when we depart this life, we may rest in him, and at the general resurrection on that last day may be found acceptable in your sight, and receive that blessing which your well-beloved Son shall then pronounce to all who love and fear you, saying, Come, you blessed of my Father, receive the kingdom prepared for you from the beginning of the world. Lord, Good Shepherd, we ask that you receive Nort into your eternal fold with love and with tenderness. We offer you thanks for his life. Grant peace as he joins the blessed cloud of witnesses that have gone before us, that he may dwell with you forevermore until we all meet again. Lord, you now have shared this life of Nort with us, and we know before he was ours, he was yours. For all that Nort has given us to make us what we are, and for that of him that lives and grows in each one here, and for his life that in your love will never end, we give you thanks today. As now Nort is back in your arms, we pray for comfort in loneliness, strength in weakness, and courage to face the future unafraid. Draw those that remain in this life closer to one another, and make us faithful to serve one another, and give us to know that peace and joy, which is eternal life. May our continued time together be filled with the sharing of memories and enjoying treasured friendships as we honor Nort. May the food that's been prepared be blessed by your hand, Lord, as we join together in fellowship. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen and amen.